Come on, there's triumph in this place right now. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, it's through his lordship that we have the victory. Come on, do it one more time. Clap your hands and shout. I wonder what heaven is going to sound like when we get there. Huh? You think the angels are doing a good job saying, holy, holy, holy? Wait till the church shows up. Hallelujah. I said, wait till the body of Christ shows up. Multitudes from every nation, from every tongue, crying out to the one true God, creator of heaven and earth, that manifested himself in the flesh. Hallelujah. He's the Lord and the Lamb. Oh, yes. Nobody like Jesus. Tell at least one person that ain't nobody can do you like Jesus. Now, we used to sing that back home in the South. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Say, can't nobody do me like the Lord. Well, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Say, he's my friend. Well, can't nobody
do me like Jesus. Can't nobody.
I wish I had a tenor right now. Cause he's my friend. One more time, say, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody, nobody
do me like the Lord.
Well, can't nobody
do me like Jesus. He's my friend.
He's my friend. Say,
he's my friend.
Do it one more time for fun. Say, he's
my friend.
Come on, give him thanks. Come on, give him praise and thanks.
Hallelujah. Nobody, nobody.
I love that about him, that he's so friendly. In fact, the scripture speaks of a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. It's amazing that God can be so many things and yet remain singular, one, and never change, never decrease in size. He is so vast, but yet he is so near. I love this about God, that he doesn't need a building. Hello? He doesn't need a house. I'm talking physical. I'm talking wood, mortar, steel. But he is looking for a place to inhabit. He's looking for a place he can call his habitation. Somebody say, our bodies have become the temple of the Holy Ghost. I find that amazing, that God could move, he could permeate, he could penetrate through the external and live on the inside of us. I find that amazing. But he doesn't barge his way in or push his way in, but he simply knocks. And to him that hears his voice and opens up that door, he said, I will come in. Aren't you glad he has come in? And because he has come in, we can know him. We can sup with him. We can have fellowship. We can have communion with him. And he's delighted to have communion with you and I. What a friend. What a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. He's so personal. I know he's a transcendent God, but he's a personal God. I love it about him. The Lord is in this place. And as we have heard before, where Jesus is, Brother Powell, anything can happen. Grab somebody by the hand and tell them anything can happen. How many need something to happen in your life today? Come on, how many need something to happen, amen, in your situation, in your family today? Because Jesus is here, anything can happen. Oh, can we praise him? Because with God, all things are possible. And I choose to believe him. I like that song you sung, Nobody Greater. Nobody greater than you. Let's turn our attention to the word of the Lord. Thank you for the prayers. I did request prayer, and I feel the Lord has touched me physically and strengthened me for today. It's been a busy weekend. I was in Fort Lauderdale teaching at Purpose Institute. It was a several-hour class and a lot of preparation for that. And, of course, in the Foundation of Life series class this morning and now today. And I was struggling. But the Lord has wonderfully helped us. So let's turn to the first book of Samuel, 1 Samuel. And I want to talk about some things here in chapter 30. Pastor Kyle is... Him and Sister Kyle are in Westlake at the 100th anniversary. That's the church he came out of, and they're celebrating their 100th anniversary. Amen. And all the preachers and saints are coming home, amen, to celebrate that, and it is a wonderful thing. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. I don't know what I'm going to do, really. I don't really have a sermon today, and I'm sorry if that disappoints you. I don't even really have a message today. So I've titled this Observations of David at Ziklag. Just going to talk a little while. I don't even know what's going to happen. You know, God don't tell me everything that he's going to do. But I'm learning to trust him, aren't you? He don't have to tell me everything. He's God. He don't need my permission. Observations of David at Ziklag. 1 Samuel 30. I'll read a verse or two and then we can be seated. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day. Somebody say the third day. They were away for a while. That the Amalekites had invaded the south. Now, the Amalekites were descendants of Amalek, which was the grandson of Esau. Say Esau. Remember the story of Jacob and Esau? Esau sold his birthright. Esau is all about self and carnality and the now. But Jacob was about the promise. The promise. Somebody say the promise. Amen. So the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives. Say, uh-oh. He done went too far. They took the women captives that were therein they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. Verse 3, so David and his men came to the city. Notice this was written afterwards. David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Can you consider the feeling, the emotion, the thoughts they were having, and the anguish that began to settle in their heart because of what they were beholding? They had come home to their camp, and everything that they treasured had been destroyed. Apparently, they concluded that their wives and their children were enslaved or taken captives because there was no blood, no bodies. And they figured, well, they've taken our family. Let's pray together for a moment, shall we? Come on, lift your voice, because we need to hear from the word of the Lord. Tell somebody, don't bother me. I'm trying to focus. Come on, don't text. Don't play video games. Realize where you are. Thank God there'll be no cell phones in heaven. Come on, let's lift our voice in prayer. It's early. Hallelujah. Lord, we need you. We desire you. We have felt and experienced your wonderful presence here today. We are so blessed and so fortunate to be in the presence of God, in the company of fellow brethren and believers. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us. We want to hear from you. We've been talking about spiritual warfare. We want to hear from you. We need direction. We need knowledge. We need understanding. We need wisdom. We don't even know where we're at. Lord, we look to you because you're the author and the finisher of our faith. You're the shepherd, Lord God. And we come to you as your sheep and as your lambs. Speak to us, Lord. Manifest, Lord, your plan, your purpose, your presence in this place today, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Tell the Lord, God, I want your word and I want your will to be accomplished in my life. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Come on, don't we want his word and his will to be accomplished in our lives? Can we all clap our hands one more time unto the Lord? Because he is great and he is worthy of praise. You may be seated. Observations of David at Ziklag. How many have heard this story before? 5, 6. All right. It's a wonderful story. It's a story of tragedy that was turned into triumph. It is a wonderful story. I will say at the preface of this message that David was not where he should have been with the Lord. He was not where he should have been geographically. He was tired. He was weary. He was depressed. He was running from King Saul because King Saul was threatened, insecure. David was competition. And King Saul was trying to take him out. How many knows there are people and spirits in this world that want to take you out? And David was discouraged. And he ran. And he decided, God didn't decide, David decided that I will go join with the Philistines. And I'll live there. Because he figured that if he would join the enemy, so to speak, not agree with them, but just kind of joint, hang out with them for a little while, that he could find a place of refuge. What he should have done is went to the Lord and realized that God is the eternal refuge and safe haven that he could dwell and abide under the shadow of. I think he learned that a little bit later. But he was running from King Saul, and he ended up in the land of the Philistines. He was there for a period of a year and 4 months. And the Philistines, the princes of the Philistines said, "We don't trust this guy. We remember the story. We have heard the singing of the praises of David. We're not too threatened by King Saul. But David makes us really uneasy and really nervous." They did not trust him. They heard the songs. Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his 10,000s. They knew that David was anointed. They knew that David knew how to fight. They knew that David had a track record that he could kill a giant at any time he wanted. He was a bad man. Hallelujah. Somebody say David was a bad man. You didn't want to mess with David, not by yourself or with a small army. You'd need a multitude if you were going to mess with David. He was a bad man. But he was in a discouraged moment, a discouraged time in his life, and he was there in the Philistines. And as we read a couple of chapters before, we find that King Achish, the king of Gath, how ironic is that, said, "Hey, Dave, I've observed you. You seem to be conducting yourself in a manner that I feel safe around you. You're gonna be able to camp here. I'm going to give you this land, this place we call Ziklag." Somebody say Ziklag. So David makes his camp at Ziklag, and he's coming and going, and apparently he was out for a while with his men. And the wives and the children stayed home. And he had two wives at this time. So he had a lot to take care of, obviously. And the children of all of those men that were running with him, there were warriors. But this time, when they came home, they found that they had no home. That everything that they knew and treasured and valued was gone. There was nothing but ashes. The remains of things they valued. Could you imagine coming home to your house and finding ashes? All the sentimental things you had in your house, all the treasures, all the pictures, all the beautiful things you've collected over the years. Men, your hunting rifle, your knife collection, the china, it's all gone. Everything's gone. Things that were handed down to you from your great-grandfather, it's gone. But what overwhelmed them the most is when they realized their wives and their children were gone. I don't know if you've ever had that thought before. I've had those thoughts come into my mind, and it has a negative effect on us. How many has ever had a thought or a bad dream that something happened to your spouse or your child and they were taken from you? No doubt they were overwhelmed. They were overwhelmed. mixed emotions. But as we read the story in verse number 4, it says that David and the people that were with him, they were all men, they were warriors. But it says that they lifted up their voices and they wept. They was wailing and weeping. They were crying out, "How could this happen? We're the warriors. Everything is gone. Our family has been taken from us." And they were not there to protect their own. They were out fighting other battles while their home was being invaded. And they began to weep. And they lifted up their voices. It doesn't tell us the amount of time here, but it says they wept until they had no more power, no more strength to weep. I don't know if you've ever been in that kind of condition where you have wept grievously until you had no power to weep. Your strength was gone. I've been there. Probably for a number of years, crying every day, grieving, anguish, sorrow, depression, fighting to survive. And here they are. They're crying out. They're weeping. And it doesn't give us all the details, but it gives us enough to know that this was a tragic situation that they were not expecting. It blindsided them. And they wept until they had no more power to weep. I imagine they felt defeated. And no doubt depression and grief settled in their heart. I wonder how God feels when he looks at his creation and he sees those that have been taken captive by the adversary. I wonder what God feels when he looks at lost humanity, longing for fellowship, longing for reconciliation, longing for relationship and communion, longing to be known, but yet they have been taken captive. But consider this. We know that the men were weeping. And they wept until they had no more power to weep, no more strength to weep. But would you consider this? It's not detailed in the scripture, but would you consider the reality of what was going on in the minds of those women and those children that had been taken by the Amalekites against their will? No doubt they were terrorized by their enemy. No doubt they were intimidated. No doubt they were screaming. And they did not know if they were going to live to see the next sunrise. Could you imagine what your child would go through if they were taken, abducted by someone that wanted to harm them? That alone would affect you as a parent. Yes, sir. Knowing that someone has abducted your child, it's torture in the mind of a parent or a sibling. Just to imagine, what are they doing? Are they alive? Will I ever see them again? Just imagine what they were going through. Those women, they didn't have any weapons. And those children, I don't know their ages, but they were probably all ages. And they were all captives. Verse 5 said, "And David, his two wives were taken captives, in Noham, the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, I don't guess they were at the same time. It may have been the ex-wife of Nabal here. I had to look at the translation. And David was greatly distressed. But I say David was greatly distressed. You ever been greatly distressed? Something bothered you so deeply that it just, it left you so distressed and feeling in despair. And not knowing what to do, where to go, how do I respond to this? Because that was his family. That was his future. Their sons and their daughters and the wives. But David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him because they were following him. There were 600 men that traveled with him. They followed David. They were loyal to David. So everywhere David went, they were there. They were the warriors. They were out fighting along David's side. And because they were following David and things didn't turn out right, they wanted to stone David. They were mad. They had lost their family and all of their belongings. Everything that they had collected, it was all gone. Separated from the ones they loved. And they spake of stoning him. It probably would come to your mind also if you were to be in their shoes. Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. So I'm guessing, based on what I've read, that this is probably the worst predicament of David's life up until this time. David is distressed because he doesn't know if they're going to kill him. Because the talk, the gossip, the word out on the street is, they're going to stone you, David. So he's dealing with that mentally, emotionally. They're going to kill me. I'm not where I should be. I shouldn't even be in Ziklag. Now everything has been taken and my own brethren are getting ready to stone me. This deeply affected this man, no doubt. He was alive, he was breathing, but he was very discouraged, perhaps feeling like a derelict at this time. He was lacking confidence, he lacked enthusiasm, he had lost his zeal and his passion and his determination to follow God. Ever been there? Come on, sometimes we come to church and we're just barely making it. We're just barely surviving. We've lost our courage and our passion, but yet we're still breathing. We're still surviving. No one really knows where we're at. No one really can understand what we're feeling, what we're thinking. But David is in that situation. I don't think he had words to adequately explain himself because he felt the burden, the load. He felt responsible for everything that had happened. And no doubt he's thinking, they have every right to blame me. I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be in Philistia. I shouldn't be in Ziklag. I should not have joined with King Achish. I made some bad choices. I was just trying to keep my family safe from King Saul. This man was in survival mode. How many would be honest with me? Come on, adults, that you've been in survival mode. Maybe you're not there now, but we've been through that. We've been through the mode of just barely making it, just surviving from day to day, from week to week, from service to service. And somehow there's a hope in us that if I can just get to the house of God, if I can just get on the prayer line, if I can just hear another word, another message, oh, then I can make it a little more, a little further, so forth. I've felt that way. I think that we all have. Listen, don't ever make fun of someone who's not as strong as you are. God might be trying to teach them something, and they don't look as strong as you are. They're not as vibrant and as enthused as you. Don't make fun of them. That's God's kid. God might have them on the potter's wheel. He might be making something, amen, molding something, changing something. And you're not aware of it. Don't beat somebody up because they're not keeping pace with you. Come on. Sometimes we expect those that have been in church a year or less to keep up with those that have been in for 20 years. Huh? But if you've been in this for 20 years and you're in love and infatuated with Jesus Christ, it's going to be hard for a one-year convert to keep up with you because you know him. You've been with him. He's been with you. You've been talking and fellowshipping and communing with him and he with you all the way. Somebody say, all the way. He's been with us all the way. David had not been forsaken or forgotten by God, but for a period of time, I think that he had his mind on other things and he wasn't dwelling. Like the scripture said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may inquire of the Lord and behold the beauty of the Lord. I don't think that he was in that kind of posture at that particular moment. He was just trying to survive. Thank God for those that are surviving. Thank God for the tree that can survive the storm because it has deep roots. All the limbs may break off and the leaves may be stripped, but thank God for the tree that has deep roots and can survive the storm. Praise God. David had roots in his life. Hallelujah. And those roots were planted in the rock, his God. The Bible tells us, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. Nobody stepped up to encourage David, but David remembered the goodness of the Lord. David remembered that God had been with him. David remembered the anointing that came upon his life. David remembered those utterances that came from God, for he was a prophet. David remembered the knowledge that was imparted to his life. And the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. What that means to me is just like that boy in the pig pen that had left his father's house, he came to himself. And when he came to himself, he said, my father's servants fare better than me. When he made up his mind, I don't belong here. I don't have to live in this condition. I can get up and I can go to my father. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to praise the Lord. You might not be there yet, but you can get there if you make up your mind. Hallelujah. So David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. It wasn't about feeling good about himself. It was about being encouraged in the Lord. It was more than just somebody sung my favorite song, and there was a key change, and I had to get my praise on. Oh, no, 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 no. It transcended the emotion. Come on. It was all about getting back that relationship, that communion, that Holy Ghost connection with his God. Hallelujah. The Bible said he encouraged himself in the Lord. I dare to say that there's some people in this service that need to be encouraged in the Lord, because you've lost your enthusiasm. You're not as passionate, amen, as you once were about your relationship with the Almighty. I believe the Holy Ghost is tugging at your heart, and he's calling you to come back to your relationship with him. Oh, can we lift our voices to God? Hallelujah. We don't live on the mountain, but we do go there occasionally. Hallelujah. We spend most of our time in the valley, don't we? It's hard to climb a mountain. Ask Moses, he went up there twice. At 80 plus years of age. Can you consider that? The elders climbing the mountain again. But every time he went to the mountain, he got a new revelation of his God. And when he came down, he had a word from God. If you want to speak to this generation, you need a right revelation of your God. Come on, you need to tell them more than just what they should do. You need to tell them who God is and what he has done, so that they can now respond to him and be accepted. Hallelujah. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He pulled himself together, and he began to set his mind, his affection on things above. He began to think about the Lord again, and he came to himself. In a manner of speaking, he lifted up his eyes, from whence cometh his help, because in his heart he still believed that his help came from the Lord. Come on, is that where your help comes from? Come on, that's where my help comes from, ladies and gentlemen. My help still comes from the Lord. He is the maker and the sustainer of all life. And without him, I can do nothing. So David, this is what he did. This is an observation. This is what we're learning here today. Pastor's been talking about spiritual warfare. And the purpose of spiritual warfare is not to give the devil a black eye. No. No. It's not about giving the devil a black eye. But sometimes you got to go through the devil to get a soul. Because there are souls that have been taken captive against their will. Oh, yeah. Look it up. It's in the scriptures. And so we got to go through the enemy to get what's valuable to God and what's valuable to us. Amen. That's why when we see a brother failing, falling, discouraged, we don't need to talk about him. We need to pray for him. We need to go to prayer. Hallelujah. We need to travail, because that's the soul that God values and loves and wants fellowship with. So David said to Abiathar the priest, things are going to change when you pick up the phone and say, Pastor, I need to make an appointment. I need to come in and see you. I've been procrastinating. I've been putting this thing off because it's a little embarrassing, quite frankly. But he said, I'm encouraged. I'm focused. I'm getting my courage back. Hallelujah. There's a new zeal and determination in my spirit. And he called for the preacher, Abiathar the priest, Amalek's son. Ahimelech's son, and he said, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. Bring me hither the ephod. Originally, the ephod was only worn by the high priest. And I believe it was handed down to the other priest. You can do some research on that. But I believe that when David called for the ephod, hallelujah, it was, yes, it was symbolic. It was sentimental. It means I'm getting my praise back. I'm getting my worship back. I'm repenting before God. I'm not just confessing that I was wrong. I'm making a change, and I'm moving in the right direction. And I'm going to grab that garment of praise. Hallelujah. I'm casting off the spirit of heaviness. Come on, somebody. And I'm putting back on the garment of praise, because I've cried long enough. I've grieved long enough. I've got to get up and seek the face of God until I find him. Come on, clap your hands if you know what I'm talking about. How many has ever made up your mind, or at least you think that you need to make up your mind? I'm going to seek God today in this service, in this altar, in this prayer meeting. I'm going to seek him until I find him. Oh, hallelujah. Remember Jacob? Jacob said, I ain't letting you go. I know it's been a long night. I'm tired in my body. I'm sleep deprived. I'm hungry. I'm weak. I'm tired. I'm depressed. I don't want to face Esau, but I know it's inevitable because I'm being led of God. And he stayed there with that angel, and he said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. I wish somebody would rise up in this service today, hallelujah, with that kind of tenacity, with that kind of fervor, and say, I'm not going to let him go, because I need him to bless me. I need him to help me. I'm in trouble. Not only am I in trouble, but my family's in trouble. Not only is my family in trouble, but there's a world that is in trouble. Come on, church. Come on, church, can you hear? Can you hear? Come on, take a few moments and respond. Whether you know it or not, our world's in trouble. Our government's in trouble. Our state is in trouble. We're living in perilous times, ladies and gentlemen. And there's only one thing that's going to make a difference. And that one thing is the body of Jesus Christ. We're not going to do it in flesh and blood. But he said in the scripture, not by might. Oh, not by power. But by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Come on, the Holy Ghost is in the body. The Holy Ghost is in the body. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Oh, why don't you clap your hands and shout to God? Because there's liberty to preach, to proclaim, to function. Hallelujah. And to be a vessel of God. Oh, come on, everybody, join and praise the Lord for just a moment. Hallelujah. Oh, bring me the ephod, that special garment, that mantle. Hallelujah. It's time for me to operate, amen, under the anointing again. It's time for me to function in the prophetic one more time. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. Come on, the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. If God has used you once, he'll use you again. If that gift has operated in your life, it'll operate again. But you got to do something. You got to encourage yourself in the Lord. You got to get your ephod back. You got to get your worship back. You got to get connected and in tune and aligned with God for that gift to stop operating again. Oh, is anybody hungry? Is anybody thirsty? Does anybody want to get back to that place with God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, these signs shall follow them that believe. That's the kind of faith that I'm contending for. I don't know about you, but I want to hear reports, Sister Mary and Sister Deidre. I want to hear, amen, reports. There was a lady that came in. She was sick. She had been on medication for 20 years. But in a moment's time, we joined together in prayer in a little room off to the side, and the Holy Ghost came. Not only did she get healing, but she got the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm talking about. That's where I want to get to again. There, and I want to get to that place again. And I believe if we'll observe the things, the order of what David did, you'll find it again. You'll get back into the flow of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in a lukewarm state. My flesh likes it. But my spirit is not content with lukewarmness. And by knowledge, by simple knowledge alone, amen, I'm persuaded that I don't need to be a lukewarm believer. I don't need to be a casual, coasting, passive, religious Pentecostal. I need to be an anointed son of God, daughter of God, offspring of God, child of preacher. Come on, is anybody hearing me today? Hallelujah. And David inquired of the Lord. Not only does he have his praise and his worship, and not only has he began to repent and turn, but now he is having some serious talk with God. Come on, he's in the conference room. Ooh, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I feel like the Holy Ghost is just doing something here right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel like the Lord is wanting to help us right here, right now. I believe the Lord is wanting to bring an awareness to your spirit to help us realize that some of us aren't where we could be and we're not where we should be. But God is letting us know there are some steps we need to take. There's some things that we need to do to get back into the flow of God's Holy Spirit. He began to inquire of the Lord. It was more than a hallelujah, 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 praise God, thank you, Jesus, glory to God, amen, hallelujah, praise God. No. He was talking to God. One reason why we don't say more than hallelujah, praise God, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, glory, glory, amen, is because we don't know much about God. The more you know God, the more you understand God. Hello? If you're going to learn, if you're going to know, you're going to understand, you're going to have to be deliberate, intentional, and purposeful. Come on, get to know God on purpose. Oh, Lord. I don't want to be 1 year old 20 times. Huh? Seriously. I don't want to behave like a 1 year old 20 years from now. I want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I want to grow up. Huh? I don't want to just multiply. I want to grow up, not just grow old. There's a difference between growing old and growing up. Some people have grown old while others are growing up. High five your neighbor and tell him, I want to grow up. I want to become like him. Amen. I want to speak what he's speaking and do what he's doing and lay hands on people and pray for people and realize that I can do it. I can preach it. I can live it. I can minister. Why? It's not because of my title. It's because of my God. Hallelujah. Oh my. He inquired of the Lord. And he was very specific. Notice what he said. And he meant business. And before we do something, we need to go to God and find out, does he want us to do it or not? Some people went and others were sent. Those who went without being sent failed. That's a whole Bible study. We don't have time for that. But his question to the Lord was, shall I pursue after this troop? No doubt the emotions were there. But listen, you're not going to be successful if you're driven by anger. If you're driven by a desire for vengeance. No. You're going to be successful if you're led of the Spirit. Remember what Pastor was talking about last week and the week before? Come on, Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. He didn't just wake up one day and said, I think I'm going to go here for a little while and just check this territory out. No. He was led of the Spirit. And sometimes the Spirit will lead you into difficult situations because the Spirit has more knowledge than you do in your brain. And the Spirit knows that you can make it, that you can survive, that you can have revival, that you can grow. Come on, the Spirit of God knows all things. That's what the Bible tells us is in the anointing. It's through the anointing that we have access to that kind of knowledge. God can be speaking to you and sending you somewhere, and statistically, according to the statistics, it's just not going to work. But you don't operate by statistics. Come on, you don't have to take a poll. You operate by the Spirit and by the Word of God. Come on, somebody. Come on, we got to transcend. We got to rise above carnal thinking and realize that to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Shall I pursue after this troop? Question number one. Question number two, shall I overtake them? I've asked that question. I've been specific with the Lord. Lord, what's going to happen here? And the Lord hasn't told me everything. But I've gotten dreams and I've seen visions and he spoke prophetically through people and I'm holding on, hallelujah, because I have a hope in me that is so resilient, a hope in me that has never died, and that hope is Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. David didn't know before he asked God what God was going to say and how things were going to turn out. Do any of you have a question right now in your mind? How's this going to work out? Got a situation going on my job. I'm in a transition right now. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. Got a loved one that's not doing so well, a child that's walked away from. How's this going to end? How's this going to turn out? Well, let's ask the one who knows. Come on. And he did. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just got to get to the detail and get specific with God in prayer. If he answers you, fine. If he delays his answer, so be it. If he slay me, yet shall I serve him. Oh, yes, hallelujah. Take it all away, but you're not going to take the faith away that you gave me. He's seeking guidance and counsel and direction from the Lord. And he answered. Aren't you glad when God answers? Now, it doesn't say how much time had elapsed. It could have been days. Huh? Brother Turner, it could have been days. It could have been weeks. The Bible doesn't say. But the Bible does say, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail, somebody say without fail, recover all. Oh, I wish you would just raise your right hand and tighten your fist and say, I'm going to recover. I'm going to pursue and I'm going to recover. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, come on. I'm going to apprehend. I'm going to obtain. I'm going to get some stuff back. I'm going to get some people back. I'm going to get some relationships back. I'm going to get some souls back. Come on, can we stand to our feet for just a few moments? Hallelujah. Come on, is that desire in your heart? You got some friends, you got some family members, you got some co-workers, people that you've been associated with a long time. Oh, yes. And you're going to God and you're saying, what shall I do? How do I handle this? Lord, what is your strategy? Did you know that God is a strategist? You think the devil's awesome? You think the devil, I know the devil is an opportunist. And I think he has strategy, but he can't out-strategize God. God knows I'm going to Egypt. God said, I'm coming down and I'm going to deliver my people. He knew what he was going to do and how it was going to turn out before anything was known by anybody else. Ooh, I like being hooked up with God because he knows what's going on. He knows how to do it. It doesn't matter the culture. It doesn't matter the odds. It doesn't matter the giants. God knows how to build a church. God knows how to reconcile a world unto himself. Is anybody hearing me? Am I preaching too long? I gotta close. He was there all the time. He was there all the time. Come on, help me sing it. Waiting patiently in line. Tell somebody he was there. When I didn't know it, when I didn't feel him, when I couldn't find him, when I didn't recognize him, he was there. He was waiting on David to lift his eyes and talk to him. He was waiting on his boy to make up his mind what he was going to do and who he was going to serve. Sometimes you just got to face it head on. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of running. Come on, giants come in different forms. I'm tired of running because I've learned that through him, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, I feel God in this house. I'm not talking about any God. I feel the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I feel the God that David served. I feel his power working in this house. I hear his voice walking through this garden here today because he's wanting to wake somebody up. And the Lord said, pursue, and you're going to overtake them without fail. You're going to recover all. And David took the men, and he came. Notice the Bible says he took the 600 men. He and the 600 men that were with him, he came to the brook Bezar, where those that were left behind, somebody say some were left behind, but David pursued. Come on, don't worry about those who are weak, tired, passive. Don't worry about those. Come on, don't let those who are not distract you from your call, your responsibility. Come on. You don't have to drive them. God's not a cattle driver. He's a shepherd of sheep. He operates differently than we do. We get mad, but God ain't worried because he's Lord of all. He's sovereign. And so the scripture says, and I am closing for real. Hallelujah. I'm getting tired anyway. I think I've lost 14 ounces of sweat today. But David pursued, he and 400 men. Notice out of 600, only 400 went with him. That's all right. That's all right. If you can't encourage them to go with you, then pray for them. Come on. Learn how to handle people like the Lord handles people. Oh, yeah. He is so wise. He has such character about him. I love that. He and the 400 men, they pursued, but 200 abode behind because they were faint. Some people are still weary and tired. Don't push them until they burn out. I've seen what that can do. I know that burnout is real, and it can happen to anybody. I've heard from preachers that have told me that they began to crack, that they thought they were losing their mind physically and mentally. They were losing it because they were burning out. Life and relationship or Christianity become all about the work and the drive and the doing instead of about the being and the knowing and dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty. I know there's work to be done. I know there's work to be done. But learn that God is a God of balance. Let that settle on you a little bit. He's a God of balance. Sometimes you're trying to drive when he's saying, stand still and see the salvation of God. Sometimes we're wanting to shout and he's saying, it's time for Selah. That's why we got to have a connection with God. So a long story short, they pursued the enemy. They found the Egyptian that was left for dead. He was sick. He was a servant to the Amalekites. It was a sovereign setup. Ooh, hallelujah. I love the sovereignty of God. And so the man says, if you'll let me live, I'll show you where they're at. And so he led David and his men to where the Amalekites were having a party. Isn't that typical of the enemy? To celebrate over the trophies of human souls that he's abducted and captured. And so while they're having a party, David and his men began to move down. And the Bible said he began to slay them. And not a man of them escaped except 400 young men. They were probably teenagers and they ran off on some camels. In verse number 18, and David, put it up on the screen. Verse number 18, sister. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 30 and 18. I like this. And David recovered all. Listen, it didn't happen overnight. There was a process. There was an order. Come on, things had to happen a little bit at a time. A change here, a change there. A decision here, a decision there. But David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. Tell somebody, it's time for war. It's time to get back what belongs to God. It doesn't just belong to us. It belongs to God. Hallelujah. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the people that dwell therein. It's not just my stuff. It's his stuff. They belong to him. When you look at a soul, you don't know them, but they belong to God. There's going to be new souls coming to that East Campus that have never come here, but they're going to go to that East Campus. They're going to come into that East Campus not knowing God, but they're going to find the great treasure of knowing him. at that East Campus. It's going to happen. Hallelujah. Why is it going to happen? Because God is going to operate through the body of Christ. God's going to operate through you. His anointing is going to work through you. You're going to pray prayers. You're going to inquire of the Lord. You're going to destroy the enemy. You're going to defeat the enemy. He's going to be bruised under your feet, and you're going to snatch a soul right out of the grip of Satan. Tell somebody, I'm getting my stuff back. I'm going to take what's mine. I'm going to go after God. And if he releases me, look out. If he sends me, look out. I wish we could just close our eyes and lift our hands for just a moment. Now listen, if you're tired like I am, you don't have to lift them up real high. In fact, you can lift them just like this. But I'm talking about get a posture in your spirit. Hallelujah, that you're not going to stay where you are. That you're going to become aggressive in your relationship with God. I'm going to go after some things that God says belongs to me. Come on, come on, come on. David recovered all. But it was a process. Hallelujah. Come on, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us because he's anointed us to preach. Hallelujah. Every voice, would you lift? Would you raise your voice to God and realize that the anointing is still upon you? Hallelujah. Come on, you can make your way to the altar area if you want to. Hallelujah. Amen. God's been speaking to our pastor. Hallelujah. We're learning the rules of engagement. We're learning how to fight a good fight. We're learning how to be victorious in the kingdom of God. And we're going to recover some things. We're going to recover some people. We're going to get some relationships back. We're going to save some souls. Through the word, through the gospel, through the preaching, through the intercessors. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't know about you, but I want to get this kind of mindset and attitude. Talk to us fast now. That I'm going to overcome my enemy. Yes, sir. And I'm going to recover some things. I'm going to recover some people. Come on, mama. Maybe you have a child that's away from God. Come on. Maybe you have a loved one that's away from God and you don't know what to do. Perhaps you are hearing the voice of the Lord right here in this service. Hallelujah. Can we just turn this auditorium into a place of prayer? Can we lift our voices to God and talk to him? Encourage yourself in the Lord. Get your effort back. Get your worship back. Get your dedication back. Because if you don't do those things, you'll not be equipped to deal with the adversary. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just lift our voices in prayer. I hope the word of the Lord has challenged, inspired, and encouraged you. Come on, there's things available. There's things that are before you. I know there's things behind you, but there's greater things before you. It's time to reach for those things which are before us. Come on, let God give you a vision of the things that are before you. They're attainable. You can gain, you can obtain, you can reach for them. Hallelujah. Come on, every intercessor. Let's lift our voices to God in prayer. Hallelujah. If we're going to be effective in warfare, we've got to get our relationship. We've got to get our courage back. We've got to get our passion back for God.
To follow Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. My mind is made up. I am going forward in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord said we shall recover, but we have to pursue in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hey. I'm going all the way. Yeah, yeah. shall recover all in Jesus' name. My family in Jesus' name. My children in Jesus' name. My neighbors, even those on my job. We shall recover in the name of Jesus. David said, bring me the ephod. He started with prayer, the Bible says. He said, the first thing that I must do to hear from God in order to recover, in order for me to move forward, the Bible says that he required the ephod, a place of prayer, a place of consecration, a place of fasting, a place of brokenness.